We're rolling.
You are listening to the Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 34, Leader of the Pack.
All right, and welcome to episode 34 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters, and I am Paul French, and today I am music glad. Had a busy weekend of playing music, which always a good thing as far as I'm concerned. But it was good to be done with all that, you know, sitting in front of a microphone and singing, so that I could sit down in front of a microphone and speak.
That's so wrong on so many different levels. I'm Darren Noel, and I am strapped lad because as a new homeowner, I've discovered that I am now financially strapped. There you go.
Financially strapped.
Financially strapped, you dirty-minded heathens. That's my God. That's a
good clarification to make.
It really is.
Well, I was at a bar called The Heretic last night, but I won't tell you that story. So,
yikes. Oh, and I'm Matt Kramer, and tonight I am baseball boy because we're trying to figure out a couple baseball games to go to this season, but it seems that since the Brewers are actually doing well for a while, tickets are kind of hard to come by.
Ah, yes, the mark of any town where the team starts doing well a bit, and it's like, okay, I guess we'll go and check them out.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Beer. Yes.
Trying to get tickets for the games against the White Sox, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No. Is that a big rivalry?
It's an interleague game, but both the White Sox are doing well and the Brewers are doing well, mm-hmm. and it's a weekend series. So yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, my boss recently got me some baseball tickets and a good seats. They're, you know, right behind home plate. And I thought, well, that's great. And I look at the date and it's like, beginning of August. Awesome. It's like, wow, that's possibly the worst time for me to go to a baseball game ever. Because, you know, there's nothing like taking a newborn that's, you know, a few days old to a baseball game, you know, where there's like foul balls. Hitting that
or
area.
An extremely pregnant wife.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there.
No, sir. No, sir. Ooh. No, I'm already figuring out who's getting those tickets. So
yeah, that's a gift. Yeah, totally.
Exactly. So there's not a whole lot in the way of Legion news this week, by which it's pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
It's a quiet situation.
Week.
Normal.
Yeah.
It's a quiet week.
The only thing Legion-related was that those action figures have shipped, but I think you guys talked about that last week.
Yeah, we did, and we worked out that not only were they in the Justice League cartoon, but also in the Superman cartoon. So,
oh yeah,
that was a big win for us. So that's the pretty much the most recent news. And
do we have a most recent date on number 5 of? That story that's going on now.
I believe.
Last I'd heard was still on for June 24th, but
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard any changes on that as yet.
Well, as of this, we'll officially be in June. So hey, come on, final countdown. Supposedly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Darren. Now I'm gonna have the final countdown stuck in my head. Exactly. Of all things, you know, at least I can. Yeah. I can at least think of it in the context of Arrested Development, so it's okay. All right, so we have up first. It looks like we've got a story that is well worthy of the drinking game, and actually, you know, it's interesting. There's a couple of people on the forum who actually speculated that as we're moving into the shooter stories, that, you know, the irreverence that we've had for a lot of these stories would disappear. And I fear that your fears are completely unwarranted. No worries there. The fact is, there's still lots of goofy stuff happens in the shooter stories. The only difference is, and when we said that we'll be starting to sort of hit some stories that matter, what we mean is stories that stick.
Yeah,
you know, stories that remained in continuity for many, many years, and mm-hmm. not to say that there haven't been a few of these stories that we've done over the last 34 weeks. Not to say that some of those haven't lasted in continuity. It's just that you know there when you get sort of a the Evil X story, for example. Fair to say that story didn't exactly stick around long term in the overall continuity. So
because in the future we get good Lex stories.
Exactly. Yes.
I just checked DC's website and Legion of Three Worlds number 5 is slated for July 8th.
Oh, wow. It's moved already.
Same day as Rebels number 6.
Wow. Color me so surprised. Yeah.
My kid's going to be born before this book comes out. Man. Oh, that's going to be awkward. I know you're okay, in labor, honey, but
start the betting pool now. Will Legion of Three Worlds finish before Paul has a child?
There you go. But you know how awkward yes it's going to be, no. Right? I know you're in labor, honey, but the book's like, out.
Can you hold off until Wednesday?
They're holding it for me. I'll be back in like 10 minutes. Well, 10 minutes and then I'm going to read it. It's like, okay, oh we can see the head. Oh my god, Superboy Prime did what? yes, so there we have it.
And that will be the last time anyone has ever heard from Paul.
Exactly. Yeah, you want to talk about a continuity punch.
Yeah, inspiration will occur. Yeah.
Oh yikes. My oh my.
You know, I actually had a fantasy that's Superboy Prime is going to be taken out by the time-warped head of Panther.
It's like, you see?
I don't know how it'll work, but I had this fantasy that would be just...
It'll just kind of drop in, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll discover that Panther had some kryptonite underneath her lead mask, because that's not been done before.
Exactly.
And, you know...
Exactly. And will Risk's arm be involved at all?
With both of them or just... Because, you know, he's ripped off both of them now.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, that's right.
No, I still think what's going to happen is he's going to
Black Knight from exactly. The Holy Grail in the DC.
Yeah.
It's only a flesh wound. Come back here.
Right. I'll do
bite
you.
Your head off.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. That's so July 8th then. Mm-hmm.
Happy Independence Day.
Oh my. Yeah, that's
July 9th.
Yeah, it means the 9th. Mm-hmm.
Maybe for you guys.
Oh, you
we actually no, it's it, you know what? For it used to be that not only did our holidays screw us on getting our comics on Wednesday, but yours did. And for the last while that hasn't happened. And
actually, the 4th is a Saturday this year, so it may not mess it up at all.
But don't you guys get one of? I guess you get the Friday off in lieu, eh?
We get Monday off. Actually, we get a floating holiday, so I'm not taking any days off. I'm going to use it for Wizard World.
Oh yeah, exactly. And when is Wizard World again, Matt?
August 6th through the 6th through the 9th, I believe.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So definitely something for people who are in the Chicago area or the outlying regions or very far away and just want to go to it.
Yeah, George Perez this year.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so you know that they've got to get this book out by then.
Yeah. You'd hope so. Yeah. You'd hope so.
Well, he's going to be at Heroes too, and that's mid-June, so, you know, oops. So
I hope he's busy drawing.
Yeah.
Oh, he will be. You know he will be.
Of course he will be.
He'll probably be done at that point. Hopefully he'll be on over at Scott Koblish's desk.
Exactly.
I would hope.
Yeah, and then it's off for coloring, and it's a beautiful thing. yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But yes, I am starting to wonder if
when did issue number one
better for me?
When did number one ship?
Oh gosh,
August.
Yeah, I think it was around the time.
That's right. It was. It was August 21st.
Yeah, so I was thinking it was like about a week before my birthday.
Yeah.
It was taking about a year. God love them.
Yeah, because I've got pictures of me camping, and the whole thing was that we didn't get to stop, but we didn't have time to stop at the store on the way there. And so,
for a second, I thought you were camping out for the book. Thank God you clarified.
Yes. No, but there's a picture of me sitting by the campfire, you know, looking as though I'm reading an invisible book. And and that picture was labeled, "This is me not reading Legion of Three Worlds number one."
Nice. Aww.
So, yeah, it'll be almost a year. There you go.
Nice.
That's hey, you know what? They're still doing better output than All-Star Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Please.
But Ultimate Hulk versus Wolverine 6 came out last week.
There you go. Yes. And the world.
What year did that start?
And the world didn't end. So look at this year. Look at this year. We've had the Guns N' Roses album finally came out. Ultimate Hulk versus Wolverine came out. I mean, you know, that's two of the seven signs.
Still no Daredevil Target.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, that book's never coming out. Never. Well, then again, that's what we said about that Black Cat series ending too. So there you go.
Yeah.
So yes, will we need new rules for the drinking game? Hey, new things are always going to come up that make an interesting chance to have a drink. It's not all Legion Traders, although Shooter had his share of
today,
Legion Traders.
But...
it definitely is. But Shooter had his share of Legion Traders. Mm-hmm. And you know,
in his first story, as a matter of fact.
Indeed. And so there's going to be a lot of stuff in there that is certainly drinking game worthy. The drinking game will not end. It will not end. Heck, there's stuff we can apply the drinking game to, you know, that comes out these days. So
yeah.
it's all good. So Matt, why don't you take us away with the first story?
All right. Up first, we have Superboy and the Five Legion Traitors.
Well,
speaking of,
it's a lot of drinking. Traitors,
this issue stories from Superboy number 117, and it's written by Jerry Siegel and art by Kurt Swan and George Klein. And this issue starts out with. What is life without friends? Mighty as the Boy of Steel is, despite his fantastic powers and tremendous deeds, his existence would be lonely except for the warm friendship he enjoys with his fellow members of the 30th century Legion of Superheroes. But see what happens on the shocking day when Superboy's amazing super friends suddenly turn into super enemies. Here's a story you'll long remember. I don't know about that. The surprise and instant tale of Superboy and the Five Legion Traitors. Yeesh. Long remembered. Yeah. Good
well,
one.
Well, that's
good
like picking up a comic and it on the front of the comic says the story you demanded. It's like, oh, this is going to be bad.
Mm. Yeah.
An instant classic. Really?
Oh.
And the story starts out with in a distant galaxy, a Superboy speeds against time, or he is moving an inhabited world into orbit of a new sun before their old sun blows up and goes nova and destroy all of the planets. But he gets it just in the nick of time when the sun blows up and he had gone back to watch it, but he got caught in the blast. But good thing his invulnerability saved him.
Indeed.
So, and he goes back to Earth. Good old Earth. There may be more glamorous worlds elsewhere, but there's still no place like home. Now, to return to Smallville, that could he use to choke there, Superboy. And he then changes his clothes and, in the town square, there is a gathering being held because the Legion is coming to Smallville, and Superboy is wondering what's going on and why they're coming to Smallville, as someone is saying, "Here come our gallant visitors in their time globe. We've raised the Legion flag in their honor. Start cheering, folks."
I always love that when it's like they're in the past, and it's like, you know, these are things that they should be keeping a secret from the general populace.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they be calling Area 51 since Cam and Brainy are just right there and obviously aliens?
Yeah.
And this is, you know, the Midwest in the 50s, you know, or I guess at the time it would be, like sort of late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah.
Right. 13 years back. So 64. So yeah, 51. Okay. Hmm. See, there's 51 again.
Oh.
Then the Legionnaires who came to Smallville are Brainiac 5, Ultra Boy, Invisible Kid, Chameleon Boy, and who is the last one? Element Lad. Did I say Element Lad? I don't remember.
I don't think you did.
You've said him now.
Okay. It's so hard in the showcase sometimes when you just see the faces that all look alike.
Yeah.
Giffen's differentiating them can't happen soon enough.
Seriously.
But it's still a good... Oh, man. 20 years.
All the Legion guys have the same years off. Face. Yeah. All of them have the same face. Even Cam has the same face.
Exactly. Well, I mean that's Kurt Swan had a very sort of distinct face drawing style. And so, as much as I really enjoyed it, you know, there were certainly on team, you know, if a character was the same age as another character, guaranteed they were going to look pretty much the same.
Yeah. There's a reception that's being held in their honor when, across town, there is a robbery going on. Some crooks have stolen the payroll. And the Legionnaires overturn the getaway car, and the robbers, they're running off. And Brainiac 5 tells Invisible Kid to disappear when he trips them. And Chameleon Boy turns into a giant net to capture them. And the freak has changed his hands into nets, imprisoning us. But though he has the power of super disguise, bullets will kill him.
This is
not
a super.
If I can help it.
This is a super observant dude, right? He's just been tripped by, you know, nothing, and nets grow out of this other kid's hands.
Not a kid, an alien. Wouldn't he be freaking out?
Well, you'd think, wouldn't you? But no, he's pretty sanguine about the whole thing. He's realizing clearly this guy has the power of super disguise. I would bet if he were to have like a clubhouse in the far future and his name on a nameplate with his power listed under it, it would say super disguise.
Yes. Oh man. Yeah. That element lad, he thinks quick and changes the bullets lead into rubber, and they just bounce off Chameleon Boy. And then Chief Parker thanks the Legionnaires for their help and offers to show them around the town, but they say they'd rather roam around on their own. And later on, Superboy is walking home, and he sees the Legionnaires flying overhead. And he says, "Hi there, fellows. I hope you enjoy your visit here, but be careful not to say or do anything that would reveal my secret identity accidentally. Is it my imagination, or are they smiling strangely?"
Well, you know, five guys out on a bender. Hello.
Yeah, and with Ultra Boy, he's got his arms around Chameleon Boy and Invisible Kid. Yeah.
Because you never know exactly what era the Legionnaires are traveling from. So this could be like Ultra Boy's stag party.
Could be the stag party.
Yeah.
Could be the stud party. Who knows?
But the Element Lad does have the E instead of the inner leg.
Oh, yes, of course.
And they are wearing the flying belts, so, you know, it kind of dates it.
Yeah, dates it within a couple stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Then, at school, Brainiac 5 has shown up, and he is going to demonstrate some of his powers, and he is going to impress everyone by mentally adding all the figures in the math book. And,
nerd.
Yeah. It astonishes the teacher, but she knows that it's correct because her brother wrote the book, and he had an adding machine that took him weeks to figure out that information. Boy, Brainiac 5's computer mind is fabulous.
Hello.
Yeah. Then they ask Invisible Kid to tell about the strangest cities of the 30th century. And he says, I'll do even better. I'll concentrate on my Mentezo ring, which will project my mental pictures of them. Behold, Mechago, a living city on the planet Innanor, where all normally inanimate objects, buildings, and machines are alive and intelligent. Its human creators perished centuries earlier. Lucky they don't need any maintenance.
And when the buildings stepped on them.
Yeah,
exactly. Wasn't there something from... No, I'm thinking of something different, I guess. I thought there was some living inanimate objects in the Tenzel for the Defense story in the 5 year later, but it probably wasn't from this planet.
It was the living money.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
Same principle, though.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, there's no trope that Siegel wasn't willing to go back to.
Yeah. And then up next, there's Necropolis, which is within a volcanic crater on the planet Stzl. The Phantom City is inhabited by spectral beings who resemble aliens who once roamed long-dead worlds. No one could communicate with them. Hmm. And then there's Gothicator. A beautiful, weird city on the planet Bestia is inhabited by monsters who take turns concentrating on a purple globe. Their magnified love vibrations cast through space by the globe counteract evil everywhere in their galaxy. So it's a monster
origin. Beginning of the Violet Core.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. And then Element Lad is asked. What's the most unusual element known to him? And it's energite. It's an amazing cure-all that can heal any ailment. It's been long sought by science. And then last but not least, they ask Ultra Boy to demonstrate his powers, and he decides that he is going to reveal the secret identity of Superboy, which he uses his penetra vision and... outs Clark Kent, but then, when you put it like that, and Clark, ever the thinker, he notices that Smallville is misspelled on a couple of banners, and Metropolis is also misspelled, so he thinks something's up. And he notices that he looks around town and sees that the city's name is misspelled everywhere. And then he remembers the Legion flag, and that reminds him that of something else. These 30th century lads are villains, not heroes. And turns out when he was caught in the Nova, he got shifted off to a parallel world. And then he goes on to a description about parallel worlds. Many similar universes coexist in the same space, but in an infinite number of different dimensions. There's no limit to the variations. Chief Parker may be a criminal in one world, an ape-like being in another, or even a woman.
That's a man.
Superboy decides that as his mind races at rocket speed, that he figures out that the Legionnaires have come back in time to betray him and reveal his secret identity. And then he notices that he thinks that the Superboy of this world must be away. And oh, he's right, because he sees him flying somewhere. And he's got to act fast to reveal, to protect his secret identity. So he turns out the lights with the puff of his super breath, and quick writes a secret message on a medal he was given. And then he this is an extremely complex plan.
All in like a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
At rocket speed.
Excuse me. First he superheated the metal, and then he rode on it with a hairpin. And where he got
that
this
he got out of Lana Lang's bag.
Yeah. And he now I've tossed the metal out through an open window, so it will sail directly to the Superboy of this parallel world. He's nearby now. Then I'll puff that light switch back on again. They'll assume the electric storm caused the momentary light failure. And then the teacher's like, oh, the lights are back on once more. You were saying Ultra Boy. And he says, Clark Kent is secretly Superboy, as the other Superboy flies in the window and says, then who am I? Whew, he got my message in time. And Superboy says, don't be alarmed, anyone. This anti-gravity paralysis disc has a temporary suspended animation effect on these super troublemakers. He must have quickly taken that disc from among his trophies after I tipped him off.
He must have. Oy.
he doesn't keep it in his super pockets.
Well, no, because that's where he has to keep his super compressed Clark Kent clothes, and that's what turns them red and white.
Yeah.
Are we surprised that this is a Siegel story, anyone?
This is classic Siegel. This is Siegel all over.
Oh, wow. But that Superboy says, I'll take these rascals from the future away where they can't harm the people of this era. And they say, oh, that Ultra Boy phony didn't know what he was talking about. And Clark's thinking, in this world, Lana doesn't suspect Superboy's identity.
That said, in this world, she's still a bitch. Some things never change.
Although I would have preferred Lana to be a man, just to prove the point of Chief Parker in this universe.
Yeah. But we don't know what's up with Lucy Lane.
Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah. And later on, Clark has changed into Superboy, and he joins up with the Superboy of that world. And he said, we're almost like identical twins. If not for your clever warning, my secret identity would have been exposed. I'm sure you would have done the same for me. And then we get some exposition as to how Superboy knew what was going on. He says, and suddenly I recalled that, well, first he says that the Smallville's name was spelled differently, and then he noticed the Legion flag, and suddenly I recalled that those super lads didn't salute the Legion flag when they arrived here, though the Superhero Club Constitution requires them to salute it at all times.
Scofflaws.
If Dream Girl were around, that would be grounds for immediate expulsion.
Exactly.
At once I knew the truth. They didn't salute the flag because they hated it. Why? Probably because they'd been thrown out of the club for conduct unbecoming Legion members. And so, despising their former super friends, they traveled back through time to spoil things here for you.
Wow.
And,
conduct unbecoming, eh?
Yeah.
Either that or all the Legion are evil. And and this Superboy could have been evil too.
Yeah.
He really was taking a chance in supposing that they were the only
maybe
ones.
Maybe it's
that
Earth
evil.
3, who knows?
Exactly.
But then we'd have Ultraman, so I guess it's not Earth 3.
Then the Superboy of that world flies off. Oh, the Superboy of our world flies off with the Legion criminals as the Superboy of that world says, come and visit me in Smallville soon, as the Superboy is going to drop the criminals off in the future as he goes back home. And he goes to the 30th century.
Yay.
And drops the criminals off with the science police. And then he goes back across the dimensional maze and then through the time barrier to my own world. Wow, what a unique, different adventure this has been. It's great to finally be back home again where there's an LL instead of just one L at the end of Smallville's name. Amazing. In the future of this world, my Legion friends are heroes. But in that world I just visited, some of them are villains. Who knows what lives they may lead in other parallel worlds. Foreshadowing.
So of course we got the LL going on there, right?
Yep.
And yes, it's the whole so there were Legionnaires on parallel worlds long before all of this. You know, they used to downplay that, you know, there was no Legion of Earth 2 and all that kind of stuff. But of course, you
prove
know,
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Prove it.
Yeah. And that's one thing that can go in for the drinking game in the future. Alternate legions.
Absolutely. See?
Oh yeah.
Adding stuff to the drinking game all the time.
It's just an excuse to get soused, really. But you know,
there's that. There's
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
So our next story has some very important significance.
Yeah, we're getting a new Legionnaire.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
That too. But
I was
the first appearance of Wolverine. I mean Timberwolf.
Oh, wait. I was actually referring to the fact that it's the debut of the feather insignia on Light Lass's costume.
Oh, well, that's true, too.
She's moved from the cloud to a feather.
Yes. She's moved on from white panties to orange panties, too.
Oh, see? We're reading the showcase. We didn't know
that.
Oh,
see?
It's far more significant than I thought.
Costume changes are very important in the Legion. You never know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So here we are. Let's see. Who's responsible for this one?
It's got to be Hamilton Lone Wolf, Forte.
Yeah, it is. The Lone Wolf Legionnaire, Adventure Comics 327, December 64, Edmund Hamilton and John Forte. Woohoo! Which means it'll be a better story. traditionally.
In theory. And so theory. This one actually has two inkers. So you got George Klein on the first chapter and Sheldon Moldoff on the second.
Mm-hmm. And we actually have the return of the little roll call column there. Which is Brainiac 5, Chameleon Boy, Light Lass, Lightning Lad, Mon-El, Saturn Girl, Sun Boy, Superboy, and Ultra Boy. Even though I see Matter Eater Lad in this panel.
Yeah.
They're not mentioned at all.
Poor Tenzel.
So, yeah.
They're even making him stand on the other side of the new guy.
Yeah. It's been a while since Cosmic Boy has been in a story.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, they kind of forgotten about Cosmic Boy for a while now. He's not done much of anything, so... So here we are, Tales of the Legion of Superheroes. To become a member of that glamorous band, the Legion of Superheroes, is an honor to which many aspire, though few succeed. But now, the unexpected happens when the Legion wants to enlist a youth who refuses to join. Here is the dramatic story that lies behind the refusal of that strange and solitary figure, the Lone Wolf Legionnaire. And Light Lass is standing there, hands on hips. He doesn't want to be one of us. He said he must always walk alone. But why? Are you thrilled yet?
Why indeed?
Let's read on.
I'm at the edge of my seat.
In a grim, forbidding prison world comes a small spaceship. And you see these two, it appears to be police officers escorting a convict. Says, yes, I was sentenced under the law that forbids joining the Legion of Superheroes under false pretenses. I did it so I could sabotage their emergency board to further a crime plot. No wonder you were sent here. The emergency board is vital to the law enforcement of the universe, so I guess the Legion's gotten some RESPECT from the science police at this point.
So why isn't Dream Girl locked up?
Well, it was before that happened. Okay, moving on. Plot hole number one.
She probably stuck it in the Legion Constitution.
Probably. Not all. She's never mind.
It's so, all about saluting the flag.
So here we are back at the Mission Monitor board in its early incarnations, and there's Saturn Girl, Superboy, Mon-El, Ultra Boy, and Light Lass. And Saturn Girl says, the big new board far surpasses our old monitors. Its screens are linked to every world's officials so they can call us instantly. Ultra Boy, look, the distant world Kralak is calling us now. And Kralak, and they look like a strange lizard reptile-like race. Who says,
yeah, they
look
like the aliens
exploded.
Be, kind of.
Yeah,
totally.
Kind of be-ish. Our moon has exploded. It will rain destructive debris on our world. Saturn Girl orders Superboy and Mon-El. Only your superpowers can handle that emergency. And Superboy says, we're starting now. We won't be back until we've cleared all the moon debris away. Which leaves three lonely little legionnaires. And the board from the planet Zoon comes on. And Planet Zoon is speaking. Our treasured space crystals have been stolen by someone with superhuman powers. Saturn Girl says, Ultra Boy, you and Lightning Lad take that mission. That super criminal must be found.
Doesn't Zoon eventually change spelling to
Z-U-U-N? Yeah, it does. It changes spelling. Later, the emergency board brings a second alarm from Zoon, and the man says, we've had another big theft which no ordinary human could have committed. Saturn Girl says, two legionnaires are already on their way to Zoon. I'll signal them to investigate this new robbery also. And then we have Earth calling. Wow, the Legion's busy today. Saturn Girl, we've had a report that the interplanetary circus opening in Metropolis today features beasts that are too dangerous for public safety. Take a drink, folks.
Yep.
Saturn Girl says, Brainiac 5, you and Light Lass look into it at once. And so the circus begins with its parade of weird interplanetary beasts. And all the animals seem restless, scared. Yes, look at the Venusian hoppers in the first cage. Those hoppers are frantic with fear. In fact, they don't look like they're hopping at all. They look like they're cowering. The red Corlots are terrified, and the big Jovian camelephants seem ready to stampede. And there's the reason why. In that cage farther back in line, we've got to get that animal out of here. The unknown animal is a Morvenian fear beast. Well, I guess it's not unknown then, is it? It's telepathic.
It's big bug eyes.
Yeah, it's telepathic and conquers by putting fear in their minds. Now that you've made it light, I'll carry it out of here. So Brainy's getting to be Butch. As Light Lass uses her powers to make the animal inside and the cage light as a feather. And she says, the camelephants are stampeding. They'll crash into the audience. And suddenly a flashing figure appears. As many bystanders happen to be in the way.
Where did they come from?
We don't know. They're just down there on the floor where they're not supposed to be. Maybe they were going to streak or something and then decided
yes,
better.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And someone off panel says, that young chap, he's swinging on the acrobat's rope, but what can he do? Well, folks, introducing Bryn Londo, Timberwolf, or Lone Wolf. And do we want to do the bullet?
This is Karth Arn.
It's Karth Arn right now. Yeah, we'll get to that. Don't spoil it.
I'm sorry.
We'll do the bullet on Bryn after we're done with the story.
Okay.
That way we don't spoil the rest of what's going to happen here. And Lone Wolf says, someone says, he must have terrific strength to lift that big spotlight so easily. He's turning it on. And he shines the spotlight into the eyes of the camelephants, and apparently it stopped their stampede. Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
When camelephants are blinded, they won't move. That's a good thing. And minutes later, Lone Wolf meets Brainiac 5 and Light Lass, and Brainy says, our removing that fear beast has quieted the animals' panic, but you stopped the camelephant stampede by your terrific feat, and we're grateful. I'm Brainiac 5, and I'm Light Lass. We're members of the Legion of Superheroes. Who are you? My name's Karth Arn. Goodbye.
Rude.
Oh, manners. Light Lass says, wait a moment. I've got something to say to you. With your strength and super acrobatic powers, you should apply for membership in the superheroes. I'm sure you'd be accepted. I don't want to be in your legion. I'm a lone wolf, as the symbol on my chest indicates, and want no part of any organization. Lilas, but the legion needs you, lone wolf. We're short of members. We could send only two legionnaires to investigate a series of superhuman robberies on Zoon, so you can see. What do you mean, superhuman robberies on Zoon? What do you know? Well, he seems invested all of a sudden,
exactly.
Doesn't he, kids? the reports from the report was that these big thefts on Zune could not have been done by an ordinary human. But why are you so upset by it? I'm not. I have to go now, and I don't want to join your legion. Just in case you didn't hear him the first three times he said it. he's one of the few people who ever refused an initiation to enter the Legion. I wish he'd accepted. I like him. Well, now. There you go. Boys are nothing but trouble, okay? Like, get smart, okay?
Yeah.
And Brainy says, your mention of the Zune robbery seemed to upset him badly. I wonder why. Meanwhile, back at headquarters. Brainy says, with his super acrobatic powers and strength, this lone wolf could be the mysterious superhuman thief of Zune. He could have come to Earth to hide. And Saturn Girl, that would explain why he didn't want to join the Legion. And Lightlight says, no, the lone wolf is no criminal. I know it. Okay, just because you fall in love with someone doesn't make them good.
He's like cute and stuff, so he couldn't be a bad guy.
It's basically we're retreading the Phantom Girl Ultra Boy.
It's totally, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So. And Sangro says, he seems to have impressed you, Light Lass. Mm. Not reading her mind, are you? And are you? But we'll have to investigate the possibility. Chameleon Boy, you check the spaceport to find out when this lone wolf arrived on Earth. And Cam does and reports that lone wolf arrived here only today in a small space speedster alone. And he took off again, heading in the direction of Zune. And then he's definitely under suspicion and must be followed. Then he says, I'll trail Lone Wolf to Zune. Sunboy and Lightlass can come with me. Ordinarily, the Ice Queen says, I'd say Lightlass seems too fond of the suspect to go on this mission, but we're shorthanded, all right. Take our fastest cruiser. Taking off minutes later, the Legion cruiser looks ahead with radar. The radar scope shows Lone Wolf heading straight for Zune. We'll try to overtake him. I still can't believe he's a super thief.
He's a super thief.
Super thief.
Oh, God. I need a drink just for that. Thank you, Matt.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Can't touch that.
No.
Oh.
Anyway. Before we break it down for you on a Monday morning. So three more Legionnaires are trailing this lone wolf. Whom we suspect, Ultra Boy, because Saturn Girl's talking to Ultra Boy on the trouble alert there. Ultra Boy says, we'll contact them after they arrive. We're just starting to investigate the space crystal robberies. And meanwhile, they're on the planet Zune, and they get some exposition from the police. Our three suns rotate, so our sunlight changes color every 8 hours. It's red sunlight in the morning, yellow in the afternoon, and green is our night. Now, you said an electric eye guard camera had taken pictures of the space crystal robbery. Can we see them? And shortly, in a darkened room, as you see, it took place in our night of green sunlight. With super speed and strength, he knocked out the guards watching our space crystals, which are invaluable because they draw power from the suns. Then he tore the door off with terrific strength. But his hands are bare. That means he must have left fingerprints on the metal door, and I can examine them with my ultravision. Well, here we go. Ultravision time. And Lightning Light says, you seem startled. Is there anything unusual about the prints? Ultra Boy says, unusual. It's incredible. We saw that the thief's hands were bare, but his fingerprints are blank. He doesn't have any fingerprints. Dun, dun, dun. Well, no fingerprints, eh? Meanwhile, the pursuing Legion team overtakes Lone Wolf's ship as he descends toward Zune. Yeah, they're not being very subtle about following them, are they?
No.
Lone Wolf, this radio call is from the Legion cruiser behind you. We ordered you to land at once and surrender. But the Lone Wolf suddenly sees peril ahead of him. I know that blue force and who's using it to trap me. It'll suck me into another dimension if I don't swerve fast. And so Lone Wolf's speedster swerves out of the danger, but the Legion cruiser, close behind, runs into it. What's happening? We're being drawn by that beam into a blue abyss. Can't break loose, Captain. It's full of Kirkism, isn't it?
It is. So,
this ray is pulling us into another dimension. If we're drawn farther into it, we'll never escape. I'm using full power, Captain, but I cannot break loose. As the lone wolf sees their peril, I can't desert them, especially since Lightlass might be one of them. The only chance is to take the risk of a collision and knock them loose. And so Lone Wolf rams his pointy jet into the Legion cruiser.
That contains Lightlass.
That contains Lightlass. Symbolism? No, of course not. I did it, but my head hit the control board. I'm blacking out. Isn't that nice of you to say in your head?
Yeah.
The two ships fall to the ground just below, and as the green night begins, there is silence until Lightlass apparently is the only one who is conscious. Brainiac 5 and Sunboy are only knocked out, not badly hurt. Lone Wolf saved us, but he isn't moving. Oh, he's not injured. Thank goodness. And when the stunned Lone Wolf recovers, I was afraid you might have been killed. I couldn't have stood it. Okay, she just met the dude.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. She got it bad.
She got it bad. Cupid done hit her in several places.
She got that Zune fever.
Is that what she's got? There might be a cream for that. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm glad later. I could help you escape, Lightlass, but I have to warn you, don't get too interested in me. Stay away from me. But why? Why? Because I'm not what you think. I'm not a human being at all.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, the cliffhanger. I can't stand it. Okay.
And in case we weren't sure, look at what the title of part two.
Yeah, the youth that wasn't human. Who wasn't human? The things people most hold, and this is Karth Arn thinking to himself, the things people hold most dear, a sweetheart, friends, a family, I, who am not a human being, will never have these. Aww. Suddenly he became the Red Tornado. What's up with that?
And he's looking worried.
He is. He's got Violet's expression. Totally. What happened?
That is a furrowed brow.
It is. He needs some Botox. Lightlass is stunned by the shattering revelation. Karth Arn says, now you know why I couldn't join the Legion. Since I'm not human, I'd have been joining under false pretenses, and you would go to jail for that. My ship is crippled, so I'll have to go on foot now. Goodbye. Lone Wolf, don't leave. I can't keep up to him. He's running so super fast.
Right. It's almost as though he has the powers of a wolf.
Almost. Almost. Brainiac 5 and Sunboy recover from the stunning shock of the collision and hear the news. So Lone Wolf said he wasn't human, eh? That would explain his superpowers. He could be a lifelike robot. Lightlass says, no, a mechanical robot wouldn't have been stunned as he was. And when I touched him, kissed him, he was of living flesh like us. Oh, my.
Wow.
What else did you do while he was unconscious, Ayla?
I was just wondering that. It's like, no, definitely human.
Yeah. Dim Rufy's kicking in yet? Anyway. Then Lone Wolf is only one answer. Then there's only one answer. Sorry. Lone Wolf must be a synthetic man made of an artificial flesh, an android. Oh, no. No. Hey, if it's good enough for Tasha Yar, it's good enough for Lightlass, okay?
Yes. Fully functional.
Fully functional in every way. Lone Wolf thinks to himself, she'll realize the truth that I'm an artificial man, an android, and will never want to see me again. Why couldn't I have been human? Why did I have to be an android? I tried to conceal the fact that I wasn't human by going to worlds where no one knew me, but wherever I went, I couldn't forget the truth about myself. Oh, how happy those children are, but I, an android, never had a childhood to remember. I wandered through many worlds, and always I was an outsider. I'll move on to another world before they find out I'm not human. Those pairs of youths to think I'll never make a girl look at me that way. And when a miracle happened and Lightlass did look at me that way, I had to reject her, tell her the terrible truth about myself. I'll go on with what I came back here to do, alone, always alone.
Hmm.
Aww. Aww. What happens when he catches a cold or bleeds? Do you think he'll figure it out then?
It's obviously a computer virus.
Oh, it's a computer virus. Yeah, that might work. Yeah, sure.
He was trying to download MP3s off the interwebs. Oh,
and the MPAA got after him.
Exactly. Uh-oh.
That's exactly. Bad. Brainiac 5 calls for assistance for the ship. Lightning Lad, our ship has been crippled by a collision. Can you come fast to this position in the fungus forest? Sounds like fun. We'll do. We're just preparing to investigate the second super robbery. We'll interview the man who discovered the theft, then pick you up. And so they get more exposition. Yes, our experimental interdimensional penetrator was stolen by someone who tore the door off that laboratory. I showed you right off the hinges. Now, if I'm investigating someone stealing an interdimensional penetrator, I'm going to the nearest lesbian bar, okay? Because that's where it is. And Ultraboy says, and just as the other robbery, the thief left blank foot fingerprints. But we must go now. Other legionnaires are grounded on Zuna and need our help. Rainy calls Saturn Girl and says, we've learned Lone Wolf is an android and could have committed the super robberies here. Will you find out from the information computer correlator anything you can tell about his possible origin? Saturn Girl says, I'll do it and call right back. And she feeds the information into UNIVAC there. And
yet another machine that was never seen again. The information computer correlator.
Yeah. But we did get
Why do we need that when we have Brainy? Board. Come on.
That's true. We did get the mission monitor board. That's true.
We have Brainy. Why do we need that big clunky machine in the background?
he can add numbers together very, very fast.
Yeah, out of a book. Yawn.
Awesome superpower. Lame.
And they rejected Spider Girl? Okay. Anyway. Soon, the computer correlator pops out a sheet of data that looks like it was printed on dot matrix printers from the 1980s. Chameleon Boy, this may be it. I'll radio this information to Brainiac 5, and on it is Dr. Mar Londu of Planet Zune, known to have experimented with creation of androids, died in 2963, so that's fairly recent.
Dot.
Yes.
Yeah.
We ran out of room.
So soon after Ultra Boy and Lightning Lad land in the fungus forest of Zune and report on the theft of the interdimensional penetrator, I just like saying it, I'm sorry. Brainy says, and the laboratory of this dead scientist, Dr. Mar Londu, was in the Ebony Mountains north of here. It must be where Lone Wolf was heading.
Sorry, Darren, I think that was a typo on the printout, probably due to the bad dot matrix printing.
Bad dot matrix?
Exactly, but no, it's definitely lettered as Londo after that.
Oh, what did I say?
Londu.
It's Londu in the archive. It's Londu.
Wow.
Yeah, it says Londu in my copy, at least on the printout.
On the printout, but yeah, and then,
on the printout.
Then after that, yeah.
Then after that, it changes.
Yeah.
The Londo.
Okay.
It's a typo.
And it picked to be sure, but just it'll make it easier when we get to explaining all about Bren.
Yep. It's a typo, folks. It's a typo. And so they head over to the wonderful lab of the now dead scientist. And that would be Dr. Londo's laboratories down there. And according to the correlator's data, Londo had a son who might be able to tell us more about Lone Wolf. Dun, dun, dun. Yes, I'm Bryn Londo, Dr. Londo's son. And that's where the typo gets corrected. And I can tell you about Karth Arn, the android who now calls himself Lone Wolf, though it's a sad story. Ultra Boy, you others keep watch. The android is heading this way. And Brainy and Lightlass enter and are talking more to Bryn. And Brainy says, you say your father made a small army of androids in those machines, but why? He created the androids so he could secure one of the rarest elements in the universe, the element Zunium. And that's also where we get the typo change on Zune.
Right, yeah. So early on it was with two O's and then would end up later with two U's. And I'm not sure when that. Yeah, I'm not sure when that change happened, but it might have actually been into the Superboy in the Legion run.
Probably.
Yeah.
Zunium only exists in the core of this cavernous world, but no one ever dares go after it because of the dangers are so great. But my father had a plan. Yes, my son, with the element Zunium, I could generate a ray that would give humans superpowers, but the perilous obstacles inside the planet keep anyone from reaching it. Then how can you possibly secure it? Since humans can't go down after the Zunium, I'll make an army of androids and order them to get it. They'll be stronger, swifter, and more agile than human beings. And so, Daddy Londo creates a whole bunch of AIs, and they go down into the belly of the beast to fight off the caterpillars on the next page. And says, those beasts are destroying many of us. But the rest of us must go on and get the Zunium. Does it say what those beasts are? No, giant cave monsters. That's what they are. Giant cave monsters of Zune. And downward they went, losing numbers to the awful dangers, including lava, you see, cave-ins. And there's like only three of them left at the end of this. He created an army, and there are only three left. Wow. The volcanic activity brought the rock roof down and crushed all but us three. But we can still get the Zunium. There it is. Yet there are more dangers to pass before we reach the surface again. And unfortunately, only one android, Karthan, returned from his mission. You got the Zunium. From now on, you'll be a son to me. We'll begin work on the machine that will use Zunium to give humans partial superpowers. And then we flash back to the present. But Karth Arn, the intelligent android, deserted me after my father died and went away to pass as a human. Calling himself Lone Wolf, he committed those superhuman robberies. Lila's poor Lone Wolf. He wanted to be taken for human. It's heartbreaking. And meanwhile, outside, here he comes. So the alert has been signaled. And we got the son says, I'll have to use the stun gun to stop him. He's dangerous. And Brainy says, no, put your gun down. The other legionnaires out there are waiting for him. They'll handle him. And Lightly says, Lone Wolf, get back. Run. You're walking into a trap. It's a trap. Lone Wolf says, I'm not going back. And Calamari's in charge of the rebellion. Okay. and no one's going to stop me. Bryn Londo tried to destroy me with the dimension machine that caught your ship. But Ultra Boy switches his ultra energy into super strength and bars the way. Bryn Londo says, hold him, he's dangerous. And Lightless says, please don't hurt him. At that moment, Brainiac 5 is swiftly searching the other laboratory buildings and the stolen space crystals, and they provide power to the stolen interdimensional penetrator. This and my examination of that stun gun prove my suspicions. Release Lone Wolf, he's innocent. This youth who calls himself Bryn Londo, he's the android. His blank fingerprints on that stun gun prove it. And Lone Wolf says, but I'm an android, too. I had no childhood. I remember no past. And Bryn Londo says, now that you found me out, I might as well confess. Dr. Londo used his Zunium ray device to give his son partial superpowers. You'll have limited superpowers, Bryn. There was only enough Zunium to use on you, but my life is nearly over, but I've succeeded in my dream. And you see Dr. Londo bathing his son, Bryn, who's actually Lone Wolf, in the rays of the Zunium, while the android, who is the one who took over the role of Bryn Londo, standing over to the side saying, I secured that Zunium. I should be master here. And if my plan works, I will be. And Dr. Londo died soon after, and then I put my plan into effect. His limited powers don't include invulnerability. This stun gun will give him amnesia. He'll remember nothing when he wakes up. And so they traded outfits. Well, now, Bryn wakes up. I can't remember who I am. And the android says, you have no memory because you're a newly created android. I'm Bryn Londo, and my father created you, but he died from the strain of his work. The android posed as Dr. Londo's son, and me, the real son, thought he was an android. Then soon afterwards, he's run away. This note says he wants to go someplace where he can pass for human. In case he ever suspects the truth and comes back, I'd better have a powerful weapon to deal with him. And Brainy interrupts, so to get such a weapon, you stole the space crystals and interdimensional penetrator. My suspicions were aroused when Ultra Boy told me of the second theft. Lone Wolf wouldn't steal that weapon and then use it against himself. Bryn says, I returned to Zoom because I feared other androids had been made and were being used for robbery, but now I know I'm human. Human! Later, after Brainiac 5's scientific skill has cured Lone Wolf's amnesia.
Brainy's awesome.
Isn't he, though? He just snapped his fingers. Boom, done. And Lightless says, now that you know your superpowers were given you by your father and you're not an android, you can enter the Legion, Lone Wolf. And Lone Wolf says, yes, but don't use that name. After all you Legionnaires did for me, I never want to be a Lone Wolf again.
Aww.
The end.
Yeah.
So basically after this, Lone Wolf, as Bryn Londo, enters the Legion Academy after it gets created. And he stays there training and perfecting his superpowers until an issue of Adventure Comics, which involves the Legion of Supervillains.
Yep.
In which he and Chemical King are called up to assist Superboy and Chameleon Boy in infiltrating the super villains. And after that mission, Chemical King and Timberwolf are inducted into the Legion together. And then Bryn serves faithfully to the Legion, refusing to leave. He has a little problem with women. We'll leave it at that. And most of the other Legionnaires believe him to be the densest Legionnaire ever. Yeah. And I do put him over Block on that, because Block at least shows insight at times. Yeah.
Yes, and Block's density is mainly physical.
Yeah, not mental. Exactly. Bryn's a little dense, which is why I found it really funny that in the Sensor Girl mystery, Bryn was the one to say the big clue.
Yeah.
About that identity of that person. So I was like, oh, that's funny that everyone else is going to be, you know, chewing nails over that.
Yeah.
You don't want to get stuck on an asteroid with Timberwolf if you're a woman. It's just bad.
If you're a guy, you don't want your wife stuck on an asteroid with him.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
But he's fun to watch videos with.
That's true. Exactly. He's very fun to watch videos with. Sometimes a Timberwolf will go through a couple of redesigns, and he'll get a little more animalistic.
Yes.
In the future. In the near future, actually.
Yeah.
And then he will go back to a more human-looking face.
And that was right at the beginning of the Levitt's run. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Then what happens to him?
What doesn't exactly?
Timberwolf was really used a lot, thank God. He's a fun character.
He gets kind of taken in by Al Gordon.
Yes.
Yes. In a way. Timberwolf's eyes sometimes will glow red when he gets ticked off. And I think that he goes into feral mode at that point, and really hard to talk him down off the ledge at that point.
Not berserker rage. That's completely different.
That's completely different.
Now, of course, one of the things is, and we played kind of cagey with it, but basically, you know, only a few years from when this story was written, because really it's only like what, 6 or 7 years?
Yeah.
He shows up with his hair kind of pointy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
looking kind of Jackman.
Yeah, exactly. Now, to be fair, he was drawn by Dave Cockrum at the time.
Yes.
And of course, Cockrum would later go on to create the new X-Men with Len Wein initially, and then to work on that series with Chris Claremont. And I think he was the first person who drew Wolverine without the mask.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I think you're right.
And of course, when Cockrum left the Legion over disputes over the dispensation of original art and you know, different payment details. He wanted to be making a bit more money on the book and that sort of thing. And so he had a lot of characters, and we've talked about this in the past, how he had a lot of characters that he had in mind for the Legion that ended up getting used for the X-Men.
Like Nightcrawler. And Storm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's and so, you know, and
most of the new X-Men were going to be Legionnaires.
Yeah. You know, at least those designs. And that was a big part of why the Imperial Guard, you know, they were all based on the Legion.
The Legion. Yeah.
So, but anyway, so, you know, when Bryn came back with that pointy hair, and then that ended up on Wolverine, I guess it's not mm-hmm. that surprising.
Nope. Not at all.
But
it's hard not to draw the correlation between the two characters. It's almost impossible to talk about one without the other.
Yeah, even speech patterns were fairly similar. Mm-hmm. You know, in that you know, he was kind of the tough talk and you know, sort of streetwise hero, that kind of thing, and so that sort of set him up alongside that other character. Don't say his name. It's like
Candyman.
I don't know. It's like the Candyman.
Well,
I think I've already said his name, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But
in the 5-year gap, they kind of teamed Timberwolf up with what was her name? Lori Morning.
In the 5-year gap.
Yeah.
Kono.
Yeah, it was with Kono. That's right.
Was it with Kono?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, I thought Kono was with Ultra Boy a lot.
Yeah. And so was Bryn.
Yeah. Okay. Because she called him her pet. Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I'm drawing the correlation between Timberwolf and that character with Jubilee,
yeah,
and that other
right,
kid.
Right.
And so in the 90s, that was kind of where things were going. And then, of course, Timberwolf in the 5-year gap goes through a little radiation bath, mm-hmm. apparently, and becomes an entirely different character. A lot less well-spoken
yes.
than he was before. Yeah, just wow.
yes,
and we're deliberately being kind of vague about that because it's a pretty neat reveal.
It is.
He had his miniseries.
Yes, that's right.
Yep, and then he got transported to the 20th century and had the miniseries, and it was drawn by Joe Phillips. Love Joe's work.
Yeah,
you can find it. Yeah. Go pick it
Some
up.
Great art. Yeah.
And then we get Two Boot Timberwolf, which we've said before, he really wasn't around much. He was like at the very end of the Archies when he showed up. And then Three Boot Timberwolf, I think, is the truest version we've had since Giffen Levitt's original.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
You
know,
he was snarly and he was surly. He was still a hero, but he was definitely. Don't mess with me.
No, exactly.
And I'm not taking any crap either.
And so. I kind of liked the way that when we came to first meet Timberwolf in the Three Boot, he wasn't an unknown quantity to the Legionnaires. They had experience with this guy in the past, and there was something about that idea of kind of joining the story already in progress that I really liked about that.
Mm-hmm.
was that you know, these guys had been around for a while, so you know that that explained the relative experience of some members, and it let them also just kind of skip to the bottom of the page with the relationship that he would have with say Lightning Lad, for example.
Yeah.
And the way that other Legionnaires would react to him, and I really did like that. That was a neat touch, I thought.
I've always liked Timberwolf as a character. He was deputy leader once at the very end of the Baxter run.
Yep.
But that's as far as he got in the leadership.
Yes.
I think if he had actually won the Legion election, Phantom Girl would have staged a coup. So, you know.
Here's an interesting thing. Zoon, as the planet. Initially spelled with two O's. And, you know, I was looking that up just to see, if it, you know, because it seemed familiar to me. And there is a word, Zoan, which is spelled in that same way with the two O's. Mm-hmm. And it is defined as any of the individuals of a compound organism.
Hmm.
Wow.
I think that's it. That's, you know, that really sort of says a lot that goes along with Bryn's personality, because although he says at the end of this story, I never want to be the lone wolf again. Oh, absolutely. and this kind of ends up being sort of an ongoing problem for him, mm-hmm. you know, in his relationships with other Legionnaires. And you know, this ends up being a huge driver to stories that include him, his problem is he doesn't relate well with others. You know, his Legion report card would say, doesn't play well with the other Legionnaires. You know, yeah. Cooperation is not going to be his strong suit. And so that lone wolf label really does stick. And, you know, no matter what he goes through. And I think he goes through a tremendous amount of growth, but that guy is still there. You know, that guy,
totally.
You know, and that kind of outsider feeling that he has, and it stems right back to when he thought he was an android. You know, it's that feeling, you know, we saw that in the panels where he's watching the kids playing, he's watching the people dancing at the party, and he's standing off to the side there. He never quite felt like he fit in.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. Which is why he hangs out with Block a lot.
Exactly. Well, you know, because when Block joined up, let's face it, he was a former foe.
Yeah.
And Bryn was the first one to really accept him, and so they, you know, they spent a lot of time together. And I think there was, you know, a couple of things for that, in that, you know, Block was kind of the naive guy, and he was kind of, you know, there's something very Lenny and George about them.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good description.
And so there's that aspect to it. And the fact, you know, there's the physical density and the mental density, right? So you've got there's all kinds of different things there. You know, Block could be the straight man to some of the silliness that Timberwolf could get himself into, and even vice versa. You know, you'd have Block come out with those just brilliant deadpan lines. And
of course Timberwolf, one of his best friends was Karate Kid.
Yeah.
So I assume that they spent tons of hours sparring just to spar. So you know. Exactly. And we find out more about that later. So
So there we go. So that's look at that, a new Legionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
New five Legion traitors and a new Legionnaire, and
not technically a Legionnaire yet.
No, that's true. And then of course there was a space zoo. I mean, with an escaped animal that was going to trample bystanders.
Yeah, doesn't get much better than that, does it?
And you people were worried about the drinking game disappearing.
Seriously, come on.
So, of course, the place that those people were worrying about the drinking game going away was on the forum at forum.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. And you can also contact us at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com, or you can head on over to the website at legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com and leave some comments on the episode threads there. You know, there's always a lot of great conversation that happens over there as well as on the forum. So definitely come on over and join in. And with that, we will head on into the time bubble and head back to the 21st century, and we will see you next week.
Woohoo!